Hello, this is Dr. Don Callen, and coming to you from the state of Washington, South Central Washington, from the Yakima Indian Reservation. And I've been reporting to you the last couple weeks the changes in weather. Last week I was telling you about record lows. Now we've been having record highs. We're getting this all this weather from Hawaii up here, and on one side the Cascades, which separates the state in two, they're getting had 4 inches of rain. I think it was yesterday, and perhaps the day before in Seattle. They've got national disaster declared up there on several places on that side because. Several of the rivers have overflown the banks, and they're having, then up next to the mountains, any place up to 5 to 10 inches of rain. So over on this side, I don't think we've had right where I am, a tenth of an inch of rain in the last 2 or 3 days while they have been just drowned over there. Right here, though, the all-time record high was 68, and yesterday we had 70, and in fact, of all the strange things, at 10 o'clock last night, I was coming back from ministering at a place. I work with the county jail here. And so I was up there, and coming home, it was down near my home, 68 degrees, and that was at 10:30 at night. So that's even you'd think that would be the high for the day in the middle of the day, say 2 o'clock, but it was that warm at night. I want to before we go any further, I want to mention something. I usually always do towards the end, but I wanted to mention it right up front, and that is that there is, I wanted to make this offer to you in this next week. If anybody writes in, this is Election Day. This is Election Day, November 7th, 2006, and if anybody writes in, postmarked within the next week, I'll send out a book called The New Miracle Life Now. It's about 240 pages. It's it comes from pretty much every perspective there is, as far as the person that has no religion to many of the religions, specifically in the Orient, but then also for those perhaps from an Orthodox or a Catholic or a Protestant or a Jewish background. And so this is a very unusual book in that it truly, if you want a new miracle life now, this would be a blessing to you. And even if you do not get back to me within the next week, I would be glad to send free of charge 100 divine healing facts. 100 divine healing facts. Just drop a letter to me. My name is Dr. Don Callen, and it's P.E.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. Once again, it's Dr. Don Callen, P.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. Okay. Well, last week, We had just was the first week that we had started covering some of the miracles and healings of Jesus in the Bible. I had been, for the several weeks before that, telling of several miracles I either had been a participant in or had seen very close up that were very dramatic. There was no way that anybody could give any logical explanation for some of the miracles and that you could see happen right before your very eyes. And but today, before we get into we're picking up where we left off last time, when I talk about in the Bible and Jesus, if you happen to have a Bible, the last 1/4 of the Bible is the New Testament. And so if you happen to have a Bible, just turn to about the last 1/4, and the first book there in the New Testament is the book of Matthew, and we'll be just briefly mentioning one of the verses in chapter 8, and then we'll go on to chapter 9. But today I wanted to mention once again a miracle that happened in my life. Actually it was my son's life. My son was a normal boy, except he was probably definitely more energetic than most, and he was one of those super active kids that was always had to be doing something. And so when it came to snow piling up, he was up at near his grandparents at the time, up, and they happened to live then on a hill, and they had a cherry orchard up there. And the cherry orchard is still there to this day, even though several of the trees have been replaced. It's still there. And he was over there. It also happened to be my brother happened to have lives there to this day, but in a different house on that same hill. And my son got on a sled. Well, that's fine, but part of the hill is super steep, very, very steep. And at the bottom of the hill, all of a sudden, there's a roadway that you cross, but you cross it in about a second. And if you didn't stop, all of a sudden, you'd fly off into a big canal that was about 30 feet deep, and maybe not quite 30, maybe 20, 25 feet deep, something like that. And so he gets on his sled. I didn't happen to be with him. He was, I guess he went out the sled on his own, but I think he was either over there being with my brother's family, or happened to be there with my wife at the time. And he flies down the hill and hits, trying to miss, stop or turn the sled from keeping from flying across that road, which would just which is a ditch bank, and flying way out and then crashing way down into that big canal that during the normal part of the year would be filled with water, but in the middle of winter is drained empty and just full of rocks. And he hit the, one of these cherry trees, and so we had to take him to the hospital immediately, and they did x-rays to his head, and they found that part of his skull had been pushed in, and he had hit this tree so hard that his actual skull had been pushed into the in, and so we had heard that some of the doctors were thinking of possibly drilling a hole nearby in his skull and trying to go in and push that skull, other part, back out to where it should be. Well, my goodness, that's pretty dramatic for anybody that loves your own children. He was our firstborn, and we certainly love our other children as much, but this is rather a dramatic thing for us and for him. But yet at this time, we already knew the power of God. I already had seen so many other miracles happen. And so from the biblical perspective, it says, well, there's one place in the Bible that it says, if there's any sick among you, to call for the elders of the church and have them come and pray and anoint the sick with oil that they may be healed. And so we were doing two things. We called for them to come, and there's either two or three of the elders from our church came and did that, but at the same time, I was praying for God to go inside his skull and push that out so that they wouldn't have to drill a hole in his head and go in and push it out by some surgical means. So, amazingly, that they while he was in the hospital, a day or so later, they took x-rays, and amazingly, that part of the skull that had been pushed in or crushed had come back out, and there was no evidence of the cracking of the skull where it had been pushed in. So here was the power of God, a miraculous thing. And why do I say this? Is because when I talk about things in the Bible, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that what he did for other people when he walked this earth, he will do for us if we will come to him and call upon him and believe that he will do that, not that he just can do it, but that he actually will do that for us. And that's what he did for us. I want to also just mention something else that is on a different note, and that is most people, there are two things that they are really interested in. They're interested in healing, and they're interested also in finances. And I remember back when, before my daughter was born, it was after my son had been born, and we were coming up to the place, and I had a job, but it just wasn't bringing in enough money. And I was and was talking to my wife too, and we needed more money. And she was finishing up her master's at the time at the University of Oregon. And the job I had was providing some, but as I said, not enough. And so I went to pray to God. I was asking him, okay, do you want me to go get another job and to seek after another job? And he said yes, that he wanted me to have another job besides what I had. However, well, then I asked a second question, which was sort of strange as I would ask this, but I said, should I go seek for the job, or will the job come to me? Well, how many of you have people walking around, would you like a job? Well, I don't think that happens too often. Usually we have to go apply at an agency or look in the classifieds or now go on the internet and try to get a job. But God did this a strange thing. He said, no, don't go look for a job, but I will bring a job to you. Okay, I went to bed with peace in my heart, and the next morning I was it was garbage day, so I was taking out the garbage so the garbage man could pick it up. And all of a sudden, as I was coming out of the house to do this, this woman was walking down my driveway and right up to my garage, and she said, do you know anybody that needs a job? And I mean, I prayed just the very night before. God had told me, don't go try to get a job, but he wanted me to have a job, and that the job would come to me. I mean, that is very, very, I would say, amazing or supernatural or once in a lifetime or something like that to happen. But that's what happened. And not only that, it was a very unusual job. It was a job that I was supposed to sit in a clearing for 8 to 10 hours a day, sometimes as little as six to ten hours a day. And I was supposed to, it was for a logging company. And they would log during the night, and then they would have to get done before the sun came up, but then they would need somebody to be there during the day in case there was any fires that happened to start up from perhaps something that was smoldering from their cutting during the night. So I was just supposed to go there, sit there, watch an area of about 100 yards by 200 yards, 250 yards or so, and just, that's all I was supposed to do. So it was an amazing time. That was just before, the year before, half year before, my daughter was born, and I went and pastored my first church. So So it gave me a great opportunity to read through the entire Bible, underlying it so thoroughly. My goodness, I didn't realize I'd gotten after a few years ago. I found that Bible, and I realized, my goodness, I really went through that Bible during those months, watching that just a few acres there every day. And but it was a provision of God for their four jobs. So God, when I talk to you about healing, I'm not talking to you just about healing. I'm talking to you for any and all needs we have. God is one that cares for us. They said, once again, is what people write or call for to various ministries. I found out, and it's those two things. They want healing, or they're praying for financial breakthrough. Well, I just told you of the miraculous way how God pushed out my son's crushed skull and restored it whole without any evidence of the crushing at all. It also provided a job that was miraculous for to pray one night, go to bed about 10:30, 11 o'clock, first thing in the morning, 7:30, 8 o'clock, or whatever it was in the morning, have a woman walk almost up to my door and ask if I needed it, or if I knew of anybody that needed a job. It's the power of God that God cares about us. And so when I talk about the Bible is not something dead. It's not a history book. It's a book that is alive. There is a scripture from the New Testament, which is Romans 1:16. It says, the gospel is the power of God. And the gospel is the good news. The gospels are, if somebody says, well, the four gospels, well, of course, those are the four stories in the first four books in the New Testament are the four Gospels, which is the good news that Jesus brought to the world. And what is it? It says it is the power of God. Well, the power of God didn't die and isn't any longer available believing that's not true at all. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that power that he had then is now available to us and has been ever since he spoke those words, and that the disciples faithfully recorded those things, taught them, and people believe them. And that's why the church spread so fast, is that is the word of God was alive. In other words, these words of Jesus wasn't just a history, but it is an ongoing thing. Okay, we left off in Matthew chapter 8. Verse 16, and I just want to read that one scripture again and then go on. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. You notice that it was how many? It was all. It was all that were who were sick. And as far as there was demon possessed, yes, they were healed. quite often a lot of diseases sometimes are involved with a demonic spirit. Quite often several different types of cancers can be involved with a demonic spirit. And so, yes, there's healing, but sometimes there's also, we need to do some warfare, and you need to either be a person that has God in your life, Jesus in your life, and have been filled with the Holy Spirit, so that there's the power of God living in you, just like the Bible talks about, so that you can deal with the attacks of the enemy in your own life and your family's life. You love your family. If you truly love your family, then you want to be able to take care and do what you can for them. Well, to do that, we need to know our God. We need to have God in our lives and to have His Word in our lives, because that Word is how He created everything. It says that in the beginning was God. And it talks about also in another place that as far as if you go to the, let me just go there right now, the very first chapter of John, which is one of the four Gospels, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. Well, it just goes on and shows that the Word that is referring is Jesus Christ. And that God created all things, but that He chose to do it through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that it was spoken and done through His Son. He is the same one that then chose to come to earth to be a one that would restore our relationship with creation, with our Creator. And so, again, in verse 16, He cast out the spirits with the Word. That's because His words had power. And those who know their God and that speak in His name then can use a word and also in His name cast out the spirits. And then it says, He also healed all who were sick. So there's no, He didn't say, okay, you and you and you, everybody on this side, you're going to be healed. Over here on this side, you're going to be healed, but it's going to take a month. And over here, you're not going to get healed at all. No, they were all healed right then. Let's go on chapter 9, and we come here right at the beginning of the chapter. It says, this is it tells about Jesus forgiving and healing a paralytic. Chapter 9, verse 1. So He got into a boat and crossed over and came to His own city. Then behold, they brought to Him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is it is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. And now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. All this, several things we see here. One thing is, at the very beginning, is Jesus says he saw their faith. This is very likely is the same story as in some of the other Gospels referred to, that where they actually, the place was so crowded that they had to tear open the roof, and these four men that brought him actually tore apart the roof and let down the person into the house, and so Jesus could minister and heal him. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, so it wasn't just one person's faith. It wasn't just a sick person, but these four friends. Most likely, there might have been up to, let's say there's, we don't know how many, but let's just say that there's four friends. And saying that they were exercising, they believed, and then they acted. Now, last week, we were talking about what is faith. It is not just what you think about in your heart, or believe only in your heart, but that belief causes you to either say something confirming, or and then also there will be corresponding actions as well. We were also saying, what was the opposite of faith? Well, most people would say the opposite of faith is doubt. Well, to a certain degree, yes, that is true. But the opposite of faith is really fear. It goes beyond doubt. Because what is faith? It's believing, but then there's also great confidence. Well, what is fear? Fear is believing, but there's beyond the believing, it's a negative belief. And they're afraid that whatever they're believing will come and then attack them or cause great harm to them. So there's really the two things involved in both. One is believing in their heart, and then there's a positive action that goes along with it. And fear, there's a believing in a very bad thing to come, and it affects their actions and their life, and so it's playing out in their life. So it's two types of faith. Now, one is fear, and one is faith. Okay, so we see here that Jesus saw their faith. And because he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Well, they weren't just seeing that that he could heal, but they were trusting beyond that, that this was, if this was not the Messiah, the Son of God that had been promised, that this was certainly perhaps the greatest prophet that had ever come. And so they believed that God was in this man. They may not have known at the time at all that he was the Messiah, but they knew that God Almighty, the Creator, was in this man. And because of that, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And of course, the scribes within themselves, it says, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, they didn't even say this out loud, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk?" Well, to say, arise and walk is a pretty simple thing. But as far as for your sins to be forgiven, there was, from their entire background, every year they had to constantly make sacrifices, and then there had to be the high priest make a sacrifice for everybody in the nation. So they didn't believe that any man except the Messiah, and they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah yet, could forgive sins. So at that time, at the time Jesus was here, people believed that he could heal. There wasn't much of a doubt about that, because they were bringing people from all over Judea and Galilee. But it wasn't only that. There's people from all over Syria and Damascus coming down from hundreds of perhaps of miles away. It tells of for the Syrians coming down, bringing their people because they believed that he could heal. So it was common back then, at the time of Jesus, they trusted and believed that the power of God was in this man, that he could, as far as a person's state. In other words, that whatever sickness, whatever demon, whatever affliction that they might have, that they could be removed and they could be made whole. And because all that they had to do is get to this person named Jesus, and if they could just get there, they could get healed. So we go on from there. It says, "For which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your home." And he arose and departed to his house. And you notice what happens afterwards. "Now when the multitude saw this, they marveled." Of course, paralytics, you can't move, you can't do anything, and there's no cure for paralytics, supposedly. Certainly wasn't back then. But when they brought him to Jesus, there was. "The multitude saw it, they marveled. And what did they do? They glorified God who had given such power to men." So they recognized that it was the power of God, that God had placed this power in Jesus, and there was no recording in all history of any other person given such power by God. So that there was hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles that were performed by Jesus, that these people would come. And we don't get these individual, okay, there was, he healed this person and healed this person. It just says all these people came, and these various places, several places they would mention, and he healed all of them. It was, once again, healing all. We go on to verse 18. It says, while he spoke these sayings to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if I may only touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer. Daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. So we see there two miracles. We see somebody coming with a daughter that is dead. Come and you can heal her. But along the way, there's this other woman that she's been hearing about Jesus too. In other places in the gospel, it talks about her that she had spent all of her money for the. It mentions here, I think, that she had been doing this for 12 years. She had spent all of her money on different people trying to get healed of her of this problem, flow of blood, and. But she had heard about him, and she'd probably been, oh, if I could only be where he is. And if I could just only be able to touch his garment, that I know that I will be healed. I will be healed if I just touch his garment. And so she comes from behind, and that's exactly what she did. She touched the garment of Jesus. And Jesus turned around. And when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. And, of course, he comes then to the dead daughter, and he gets rid of all the wailers and the mourners and puts them all outside and just goes in and he says, the girl is not dead but sleeping. And of course they all ridicule him. He went in and took her by the hand and the girl arose. So here was a father loving his daughter, didn't settle for having a dead daughter. He'd already spent, she might have been 10 years old or something like that. Already 10 years of his life, his wife's life, had been put into this daughter. He loved his daughter. Just like you and I care and love our children. And we come to Jesus not just for our needs, for our spouse's needs, but we come for our children's needs as well. And that's exactly what he did. His daughter had died. The next miracle comes right after that. It talks about in verse 27 of chapter 9, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. So where it says departed from there, so this is after he had went out of that house and he was leaving there. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows. And when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. Well, that's just the opposite of what he had told them. He said, See that no one knows. There's certain times that Jesus said, like we are told about the person that had been possessed by many demons on the other side of the Lake Galilee, that the person is delivered, and he asked, Can I follow you? Please let me come and follow you. And Jesus says, No, you go and tell everybody else what great things God has done for you. And in this case, it's just the opposite. He tells them, don't tell anybody. Well, part of the problem is that at this place is that there's so many crowds that it was a hard time being able to do anything because day and night everybody was coming to him. And so they were not having any time to be with his disciples and just talk and instruct them and teach them. Well, we are coming to a place that we're running short on time, and so I certainly want to make mention to you of the offers once again. But just before I do, I realize that, my goodness, that you are fantastic, wonderful people. And there's two types of fantastic, wonderful people that are listening to this radio right now. Yes, it is those who are saved and those who are about to be. I have a question for you. Which one are you? Right now, I ask you to repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Do you remember where Jesus is? If you prayed that, you said that, and it was mixing your heart belief with your mouth, then you know where Jesus is right now. I'll repeat this one more time, and I ask you to repeat this again. Repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Yes, Jesus, he's the one that you just asked to come into your heart. We come right now and say thank you, Jesus, for coming into the heart of many people that have just now prayed this, and that their Creator, that they might know their Creator. I mentioned earlier that this week only, this happens to be, once again, this is Election Day, 2006, November 7th, and for the next week, any letter that is sent to me that is postmarked within the next week, I'll send out this book called New Miracle Life Now. It's a fairly good-sized book. It's 240 pounds. 200, that would be something. 240 pages, and I'll send that out to you free, and just as a gift to you, totally. And whether you write in this week or any time, if you happen to be hearing this in the archives, I will send another book. It's 100 Divine Healing Facts. Now, we have been covering miracles, and for miracles to happen in our lives, we need to know more about them, and we need to understand how we can be recipients of miracles. And maybe you don't need a miracle, but maybe you have a friend or a loved one that does need a miracle in their life. And so as I said, this is free for anybody that just writes me, and my name is Dr. Don Callan, and the address is P.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. And I mentioned once, I haven't mentioned in this broadcast, but I did this last time because I had gotten response back from people that the power of positive desire is one of the books we also offer. That one, we do ask for a $10 donation. You just make that out to either GRM or Global Redeeming Ministry. Send it to that same P.O. box. Power of Positive Desire happens to be changing people's lives. And what I'm getting response back is quite dramatically, that they are completely beginning to think different, that they are really excited about the book. And so I want to mention that to you, because it is a powerful book. Okay. Finally, I want to just one more time give you the address. Dr. Don Callan, and it's GRM, P.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. Right now, before I close, I just want to pray for God's expanded blessing, for it to come on you, for that you might know your Creator better and better and better, that you might know Him intimately. Many of you out there have been searching for Him all of your life, but you don't know for sure just who he is. And we ask right now for, in Jesus' name, for all blinders. The Bible talks about that sometimes there's blinders that are put before people's eyes, and their ears are stopped up, that they cannot see and cannot hear. And we just, right now, ask a blessing on everyone that's listening to this, me right now, that they might clearly hear the Creator calling your name, and Him when He's saying, come to Him. And we just pray also for myself, that may you be truly blessed, that you may experience God's healing, that He might, that you may also experience His provision in your life. God bless you. And we'll be back here next week. God bless. Bye-bye.